Morning. Yep, there we go. It's good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. Glad to have the Foresters back with us. Germany didn't want them anymore, so they spent them out and sent them back to us. And we're glad. They had a great trip. I want y'all to help me out with something. Today is my mom's birthday. And so I'm going to call. I know she's awake because I just got through singing happy birthday to her. But I'd like for y'all to sing happy birthday to her, if you would. Say what? Yeah, come on closer. We'll
closer. Too close. Come up, don't be shy. Really,
she answers the phone when she sees it from you.
Yes, she will.
Okay, because I could call her, she won't recognize me.
Hey, Pop.
Hey, boy.
You're on speakerphone, so don't say anything inappropriate.
Hey, I'm on speakerphone.
Yeah, a lot of people are listening to you.
Maybe they've never heard about this.
No.
I won't say that.
Put Beth on the phone.
You want to put my baby on the phone?
Yes, I do. Hey, Beth, happy birthday again. There's a few people here that want to sing happy birthday to you. So can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yeah.
All right. Hit it, Bubba.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Mama.
Happy birthday to you.
We love you.
Did you get that, Beth? How many is it today? Is it, let's see, 1935. That'd be 78 today, right? Oh, Pop fell down? What's he been drinking this morning? I didn't mean to get him all excited. Well, I'll see you a little bit later on today. I love you.
Love you.
All right. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank y'all.
They'll be talking about that for the next hour.
Was that the new name?
Well, she got the clock, you know, like Flavor Flav.
Hey, you can fellowship later. We got business to do here. I like that Deb of Flav. That's good. All right. I want us to have a word of prayer this morning. Several people we need to be praying for. Daniel erroneously told us last week that his appointment was going to be Tuesday. It's actually tomorrow. And his dad was even thinking it was somehow Daniel caught his dad up in the madness of when he wanted his appointment to be, but his appointment was actually tomorrow with the hematologist oncologist. So we're going to pray for him. And Kim Simmons, Dale's wife, Kim Simmons, texted me this morning and asked us to pray for her her pain level is pretty high today. So she said, "Would you please bring my name before the group today?" So Noah's sick today. I'm sorry. Bethany's sick also. Okay. Let's pray together. And Lord, we come to you knowing from the past that you have answered many, many prayers in our behalf. We thank you. We've seen your hand of healing go out. And Lord, there are times when you have just immediately brought your hand of healing. And we thank you. Lord, today, our brothers and sisters are heavy on our hearts who need a touch of your healing this day. Lord, Kim has faithfully asked us to pray, intercede on her behalf. So right now we join her. We agree with her in prayer. Lord, that you would lift the pain from her today. We come together as a body and agree in prayer for Daniel. Lord, whatever it is with Daniel that is there, Lord, there is no malady that can come against us, no sickness, no disease that you are not Lord over. And so we're claiming today for Daniel, Lord, that you will intervene on his behalf. Lord, for young Noah, we pray. Lord, right now, Lord, may he feel your touch and may you take this sickness away from him as well as for Bethany, Lord, today. We miss our sister. Lord, and many others that are on our hearts today. Do you have others that are on your heart today? Lord, we lift them up before you and ask that you would come. Now, Lord, we invite your presence here. Here in this property, in these buildings today. May you be glorified and lifted up, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to rebuke the enemy today. That he had no authority on this property or anyone that comes on this in this place today. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you awake. All right, good, good, good. All right. I'm going to show you a video this morning. And it's kind of a long one. It's about 13 minutes. And truth of the matter is there's only probably about 100 sermon points in it. That's the truth, okay? The fact of the matter is that I want it to grab your heart, but I want it to be grabbing your heart because of what God's going to say to you through it. So I'm going to give you a little heads up. I'm kind of setting you up the way I felt like God kind of set me up. I came across it by accident, okay? And the two things I want you to be thinking about as you get ready to watch this video is, one, how easily we become the focus of our own lives. How we make ourselves the center point of every decision we make, of everything that drives our existence is us, ourselves, personally. That's the first thing I want you to keep in the back of your mind. The second thing I want you to keep in the back of your mind is this. When we see that in somebody else, how it just does something to us. How are we like, how could that person be so selfish? That's just so sinful. So two things you get ready to watch this video is one, how quickly the most important thing in the world. And two, when we see somebody else with that way of life, how it does not set well with us. So that's your setup. John?
The best stories in sports. This is an E60 feature presentation.
wake up every morning and the first thing I do is go run. That's my me time.
Along the hours, through the marathons, across the miles, he always returns to the letter.
Dear Paisley, I wanted to take a second to let you know about the emotional roller coaster you put me through for the past 2 years.
The letter is a confession to a person who's never read it, the person he tried to run from and now runs toward.
I was afraid you would someday find out how scared and selfish I used to be. The more I thought about it, the more I decided that I want you to know the truth.
He wanted to be perfect, and he was going to make sure that nothing he did stood in the way. This was not who he was supposed to be. This was not the family he was supposed to have. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't right.
Growing up in East Texas, Heath White knew one thing: success. A standout athlete and top student, graduating third in his class, he earned a scholarship to Northwestern State in central Louisiana. There, he started running and continued succeeding in just about everything.
What grades did you pull there?
4.0. After graduation, I went to law school for a semester, and then I got accepted into pilot training at the U.S. Air Force. Grew up watching Top Gun, so you know, I wanted to be Maverick.
He didn't know what it was, but he's always felt like there was something really special meant for just him to accomplish in his life.
Graduating at the top of his class as an Air Force pilot, White celebrated in signature style by asking the girl he knew since middle school to join his flight through life.
At the end of the graduation, they all gathered around Jennifer, and I got down on a knee, and they all yelled,
"Will you marry me?"
After I said yes, a lady walked up to me and she goes, "So which one did you pick?" If I had the choice, I said, "The one with the ring."
Heath and Jennifer White were married April 7th, 2000. 4 years into their marriage, the Whites were expecting their first child.
In his mind, what was your child to be like?
Perfect. Like he was. They would be smart, because how could they not be? We were both college graduates. They would be perfect.
Pepper White was born May 2005, a healthy baby girl. A year later, the Whites were expecting again.
We were trying to have a little sister or a little brother, or brother definitely, for Pepper at that time, so.
Prenatal tests showed their baby would have Down syndrome, a condition caused by an extra chromosome that delays and limits the ways a child develops, both physically and mentally.
What was your fear?
That he would leave. That he would just run away. Worse than that, I knew that he would probably want me to abort her. Because I knew that his convictions on that were not as strong as mine.
I did everything I could to try and force her into having an abortion.
What did you say to her?
My main concern was what people would think about me, you know, as a, you know, man and a pilot, or, you know, Air Force officer, whatever, you know, that, you know, what weakness inside me, you know, caused that.
He wasn't ugly or rude or abusive or anything like that. He was just absent. He just wasn't emotionally there at all.
I've got genetically superior genes. I'm a winner with winner's blood. Learning you're going to have a child with Downs is like experiencing a death. That's what I felt like I was getting a broken baby. All I could think was, why me?
I mean, I love this man more than life itself. So I had to think, what if? what if I aborted her? What if I got rid of her? And I remember a little voice in my head saying, no way. It's not happening. No way. I mean, I contemplated it for maybe an hour. He did for months.
She couldn't do it. Basically, that, you know, get on board or don't.
Hazley White was born on March 16th, 2007.
I remember the day she was born, and I remember my mom saying, you know, oh, she doesn't really look like she has Down syndrome. And I told her, you know, she was lying. You could definitely tell that she had Down syndrome.
It really felt like I had lost a baby, even though I had one sitting right in front of me. And I think it was after she started feeding that I said, she's good. She's perfect. We're gonna be fine.
For Heath, who stopped running competitively at that time, acceptance took several months.
The turning point. I had her down and I tickled her, and she laughed and giggled at me and tried to push me away. And her laughing and smiling and reacting with me, you know, that's when I realized that she's just like any other kid. She's my kid.
What goes through you as you recall that moment now?
Happiness about that moment, that I was actually able, you know, Paisley was able to change me.
The change came partially in an idea, a way to show the world his new daughter and find his place beside her. Heath began to run again, this time pushing Paisley.
Why did you want to do it?
To let everybody see that I was proud of her. Nobody knew, you know, the way I felt before she was born. And if I can keep one family, one person, from having to live with the guilt and almost making the mistake that I almost made, it's going to be worth the pain that Paisley will feel later in life, knowing the way I felt.
March 2nd, 2008, just before Paisley's first birthday, they ran their first marathon in Little Rock.
I remember buckling her in. She was so little, and we had her all bundled up, and she was flopping all around in there.
We were probably 100 yards from the finish line, and he saw us, and he stopped, and we were like, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to walk her across the finish line.
It was just me and her. There was nothing between us. Looking back on the pictures of, you know, running with her, that's a victory.
Look, it's your mom! Come on, good job.
That finish was just a beginning. Heath continued to run races with his daughter, but wanted another way to show his pride in her. This time, permanently.
One of the first things someone sees when they look at Paisley is Down syndrome. And I want it to be one of the first things you see when you see me.
Over the next 4 years, finding time away from his work as an FBI agent, Heath ran more and more races with Paisley. 5Ks, 10Ks, 9 more marathons, including a race back in his hometown, Wascom, Texas, in front of his family who were waiting at the finish line.
71, Heath White, and number 72, Paisley White, at 1952.
How'd you do?
We won. On that day, she was number one.
They've never gotten a first place before. That couldn't have been a better spot for it to happen.
You got this medal with Daddy?
Yeah.
How about this one?
Yay.
How about that one? Look at this.
Still, all the medals and miles wouldn't erase the future worries a father faces for his daughter.
Let's see. Whoa, that's a big splash.
What's your fear?
If
My fear is one day somebody calling her retarded. Somebody using that word in her presence or making fun of her because she's different and having to explain to her, you know, about society and then having to build her self-esteem back up and let her know how much I love her.
That's one reason why, in the midst of all the races and runs, when Paisley was 18 months old, Heath sat down to write the letter he's never read to his daughter.
I wanted people to know just how much you've taught me, how much I love you. It was just my way of, you know, repenting. Chances are that she never would have known the way I felt before she was born.
I went through the entire grieving process.
You know, that could have been my dirty secret that I kept with me forever. But I didn't want it to be, you know, a secret. I wanted her to know that, you know, she was everything to me.
Heath and Jennifer had a third child in 2010, another girl named Tex. And they are currently expecting their fourth, yet another little girl, this October.
Hey, you're like a little Eskimo. Look, silly girl.
On March 4th this year, at 38, Heath White prepared to push Paisley, now 5 years old, for the final time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, wheelchair athletes off!
This last race will complete a goal, running together for 321 miles, a number with a deeper meaning.
The 321 significant because Down syndrome is the third replication of the 21st chromosome. Being able to hit that, you know, on our last marathon together, it was a number that meant something to both she and I.
Why stop now?
It's bigger than Paisley. Paisley can play. Paisley can go. Paisley doesn't need me to push her.
Good job.
Initially, he had said, I don't want to take care of somebody for the rest of my life. I think now he looks at it and says, oh my goodness, I may not get to take care of her the rest of her life.
The moment you cross the line, how would you describe it?
That one was tough. I had a hard time catching my breath. And I don't know whether it was from physical exertion, but it was pretty emotional knowing that it was the last time.
Hey, buddy.
Over the couple of years, we'd become a team.
Can I have a kiss? I love you.
Everything I've done, everything I've tried to accomplish, it was never going to be perfect. But my love for Paisley is perfect. I'm always going to be there to make sure she gets to the finish line. Before you were born, I only worried about how your disability reflected on me. Now, there's no better mirror in the world. You're my light in the dark. And it's a privilege to be your dad. Love always, Daddy.
Remember how I set us up to begin with. I told you that we live most of our life about I. Right here, number one. And two, when we see it with somebody else, it angers us. If I'd have stopped the video 5 minutes in, wouldn't you like to have killed him? Especially you moms. Wouldn't you have? John, go ahead and put that first scripture up. The title today, and we don't have very long, so we're going to move through this kind of quickly. Me, Myself, and I. Not a typo at the end. It says in Exodus 20, and the God spoke all these words to the Israelites, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. You see those questions there, but I want you to get the tie in here. So often I think we think of those verses as an external thing. Well, I believe one of the places we have to start is on the inside. On the inside. How do we put us on the throne of God? What were some of Heath, that was the guy's name if you didn't realize that, Heath White's idols? When or how does something become an idol in a person's life? And I said, what must be done to remove those idols? But maybe a better phrase is what is God up to in our lives to show us our idols and show us how we put ourselves at the center? So you can comment on anything from that video, because like I told you, there could be 100 points from that video, okay? I mean, we could talk about it all kinds of ways. But the way it spoke to me the most is the way I would start with this today is idols. And most importantly, myself, yourself. So there's some of the questions. What are some of your thoughts? How did it speak to you? And how would you respond to some of those questions this morning? Wouldn't it be interesting if you could talk to him today, kind of back to what Terry was saying about all the other things that have changed in his life, his perspective, all the other thousands of things that God has showed him through Paisley. Especially when his wife walks in for the fourth time and says, Heath, we got another little baby girl on the way. But I bet you this time he wasn't worried about her physical condition that much. Some of his idols. When or how does something become an idol in our life? What does God use? What do you believe that God uses to remove some of the idols in our lives? Pain? Ryan says trials and people. Yeah. What? Yes, he humbles us. Sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. This gentleman she's referring to, that was just on Friday, right? Thursday. But he passed away on Friday? He passed away. He was 90, right, Dick? You said, Dixie, earlier to me? So, very, very recent. Yes, he was going to great lengths, wasn't he, Jason? Yes, our American way, always looking for the next thing instead of enjoying the present. Because, you know, with that's a 13-minute video, and we saw 13 minutes of their lives together over years. We didn't see the real conversations that they had, okay? I mean, really, let's be honest. You know, I'm sure there were some times where they probably didn't know they were going to make it a lot of days. Probably, I don't know, okay? Good segue. John? So the I part, don't judge Heath, because we'll be judged too. For in the same way you judge him, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So why do we often think others have bigger sin issues than ourselves? And how is judging someone else without seeing our own sin an idol? I told you, right at the beginning, I was honest with you, I said, ourselves as an idol, but then we look at someone else and we say, how could they be that way? So what do you think? Why do we often think others have bigger sin issues than ourselves? And how is judging someone else without seeing our own sin an idol? I want to leave you with this thought. Back to Heath real quick, tying all this in. I agree with everything that was said, particularly about Heath and his appearance and driven for perfection, which he probably was type AA personality. He wasn't type A, he was type AA or AAA probably, okay? He loved to be in control. And when Paisley came along, God said, Heath, you don't really have control over much of anything, Jack. He tried to control his wife. She wrestled with that a little bit because I think she loves him very, very much. She said, no, God's way is more important than my husband's way. And when Paisley was born, he had to look that eye to eye because he couldn't change her. And you see that hypocrite part, I think, so often? I think so often we struggle with, I wish I could change somebody else because I'm not willing to let God change me. We live under a great illusion every day, me, that I really have a control over a lot of things. And I realize more and more the older I get that I control very little. Very, very little. So I leave you with that to think about you, yourself, and your I. And one other thing about Paisley is however long God allows them to be on earth this together, I think God in His incredible love put her in His life to say every day, Heath, I'm in control. I give you control over some things like your free will. So you can choose how you see me controlling everything. So our free will isn't about controlling things. I see it as a choice to see how God's in control. Big difference. Big difference. So you think upon these things. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. God, we ask you to continue to speak to us this morning as we're together and throughout the day. Lord, I pray today that help us to just gaze upon you. Help us to focus upon you. Help us to seek you and let you speak to us. We bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.